The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yitzchak Grossman, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
The eighth parak of Ksuvos, Ha'isha Shenaflu, the bottom of Dafayin Chesim with Beis, the Gemara begins the sugya of Shtar Mavrachas. Hahi Itza, Debay de Tabruchinu L'nichsa Migavra, a woman planned to get married and she wanted to avoid her husband gaining control over her assets. By default, a woman's property becomes Nichse Malug. The husband has certain control over it. He eats the peros. He can prevent her from disposing of it. He's Yarisher. This woman wanted to avoid her future husband gaining control over her assets, so she wrote a shtar giving them to her daughter. Kesavtinu Lebrata. Subsequently, in Siva, she got married as per her plan. V'igarsha. Now she got divorced. The husband is out of the picture. Her assets revert to her anyway. The question now is between her and her daughter. Is this shtar valid? Can the daughter say, I have a shtar, the assets are now mine? Or do we say a shtar mavrachas is worthless? She didn't really mean it. It was just a subterfuge to get away from her husband. Really, not a real matana. The daughter has no control. The Gemara brings machlokas, whether or not shtar mavrachas is a valid shtar or not. Different shitas. Rashi and Tosfos also have a machlokas. What exactly is this shtar mavrachas? Rashi says that hodiya le'edim shelavriach miskavenes. She made a formal declaration, an explicit declaration in front of witnesses that this gift is only a shtar mavrachas. She doesn't really mean to gift the property to her daughter. Tosfos says, ein nira l'ri. Then there wouldn't be a machlokas. That's what she says, and of course that destroys the matana. Tosfos says, rather, we're dealing with umdana. She didn't say anything. Just it was clear from context, Gili Milsa, she didn't really mean it to be a real matana. That's why there's a shayla in the Gemara. In any event, that's what a shtar mavrachas is. A shtar that we believe in context, the person doesn't really mean matana per se. It's merely meant as a stratagem to avoid, in this case, the husband, in other cases we'll discuss soon, a creditor, from gaining control over assets. The Gemara has a discussion about it. At the end of the sugya, the Gemara says, how does the shtar mavrachas work? How does she accomplish her goal? How does giving the property a fake gift to somebody else stop the husband from gaining control? The Gemara asks, the lo kaninu lokeach nikninu bal. If the lokeach, the buyer, the recipient of the gift, if he's not kona, then it belongs to her. It stays her property. If it's her property, why isn't her husband going to get control? So the Gemara says, asom kinachasim she'en yidum labal v'liva drav shimon. The way shtar mavrachas works, at least in the context of a woman trying to avoid her husband gaining control, is really the matana does not work. Really, she retains control. Nevertheless, the husband does not get control because the nechasim have the status of nechasim shein yiduim. This is a special halacha in the context of the relationship of a married woman and her husband. If the husband doesn't know of the existence of the property, that's called nechasim shein yiduim, nechasim that are not known, and that the tekanas chazal that give him control do not apply. Rashi explains, when you write a shtar mavrachas, the property becomes nechasim shein yiduim, because al menashe inim shel anasa. When he married her, he didn't know the shtar mavrachas didn't work. He thought it was a valid shtar, so he had no intention. He didn't think he'd be gaining those assets. Desarvar shematana gemura. He makes a mistake. He thinks the shtar mavrachas really works, is a valid shtar, and therefore the nechasim become ein yiduim. So she wins on both counts. The daughter or the recipient of her matana, of her sale, doesn't get it because she didn't really mean the shtar. It's only mavrachas. Nevertheless, the husband doesn't get control because they're nechasim shein yiduim, so she wins on both counts. Now, this is a special halacha that applies in the context of a married woman being mavriach from her husband. The way it works is because they become nechasim shein yiduim. What about a balchov? What about the very common case in the poskim, rishonim, achronim, a debtor wants to avoid his creditor gaining a lien, gaining control over his assets. He wants to secure his assets, to hide them, to pre-shield them from his creditors. So he writes to shtar mavrachas, he puts his assets, as we would say, he puts his assets in the name of somebody else, a trusted friend, a relative, and he's doing that just to hide it from the balchov. What happens then? Here, there's no idea of nechasim shein yiduim. A balchov certainly collects even from nechasim shein yiduim. So here, he certainly can't win on both counts. He certainly can't win both against the recipient of his gift as well as against the balchov. Mimanavshach. If the nechasim remain his, the balchov will take them. The only way for the Balchov not to get them is if they don't remain his, if they actually belong, if the Matana actually goes through and they belong to the recipient. So which way do we go? Do we say the gift goes through and they actually belong to the recipient and not the Balchov? Or do we say, if I care, the Matana is a shtar mavrachas, it does not work, And then the Balchov actually can be tarif them like any other assets of the Balchov. Which way do we go? So here we have a major machlokes, Rabbeinu Tam, in one camp, and Visiato against the Rush and the Maram and others. Tosus, the Rush, many Rishonim bring Rabbeinu Tam. Tosus says, Kvarba Meister Shtar Mavriach Nechasto Fnei Rabbeinu Tam. The person wanted to borrow money and avoid having his creditors gain control over his assets. Or another case, he wanted his wife. His wife is a creditor too, creditor of Ksuva. He wanted, in the Gemara's case, the woman wanted her husband not to get control over her assets. In this case, it was a husband who wanted his wife not to get control over his assets. Again, in these cases, there's no issue of Nechasim Shein Yiduim. So it has to either go to the Mekal Matana or to the creditor. Ben Tam said, the Shtar Kayim. In the case of the Gemara, where the woman can have the best of both worlds, Matana won't go through and the husband won't get them. That's what happens. But in this case, where it has to go one way or another, there's no other option. It either belongs to the Mekabel Matana or it belongs to the creditor. So here, which way would he rather it go? He would rather it go to the Mekabel Matana. Since Mavrachas won't work any other way, if he keeps it, then the creditor will get it. And that's exactly what he doesn't want. He doesn't want the creditor to get it. His only choice is for the Matana to actually work. So that's a sheet of Rabbeinu Tam, that the Matana actually works. The Rush disagrees. The Rush in the Psakim is Meirich. He brings Rabbeinu Shimshon, quoting Rabbeinu Tam. The Rush spends a lot of time arguing that this is not the case. The Rush points out that when the Gemara explains the idea of Mavrachas, the Gemara says the basic umdana is the reason we say the Matana doesn't work is because Lo Shavik Inish Nafshei V'Yav Lachrini. A person would never give up his property and give it away. So the Rush says that applies here too. A person would never want the Mekabel Matana to get it and he would lose the property. There's an umdana. No one ever does that. Of course he wants to keep it. Even if that means Balchov will eventually get it. Okay, until the Balchov gets it, at least it'll be his. There's an umdana that a person would not want the Mekabel to actually get it. So even if that means Balchov will get it, Matana does not go through. We follow umdana and the Balchov and the Nosin keeps the Matana and the Balchov Mamela can take it. That's Machlokes, Rabbeinu Tam, and the Rash, Rabbeinu Shimshon, other Rishonim, the Ran. They say that the Matana does go through, and then the Balchov cannot take it, while the Rush says this is the opinion of the Maram too. The Rush brings a tshuva of the Maram, who says that the Shtar Mavrachas does not work, the Nosin keeps it, and the Balchov can take it, and he says that also Shar Gedolei Haaretz Hazos, the other Gedolim of his land, also agreed to himself and Maram V'chein Iker. So that's the Machlokes. The Rush in several tshuvos elaborates further on this. He argues at great length, emphatically, that a Shtar Mavrachas does not work, the Mekabel does not get it, and the Nosin keeps it, and therefore the Balchov can take it. The Rush here, besides discussing Umdana, the Rush mixes in an additional consideration that he feels that this is a terrible avla, Shaloka Hogan, a terrible thing that the Nosin is trying to do. He's trying to shield his assets unjustly, unfairly from his creditors. And that itself is a reason, in addition to the umdana, that itself is a reason not to allow the matana to go through. The Rush, several tshuvas in Klal 78, Klal Ayin Ches, he says, Avadu, we follow umdanas. He brings many gemaras that say we follow umdana, including our gemara of Shama Brachas, as well as other sugyas in Shas, that even if a person makes a matana, if we have an umdana that he doesn't really mean it, then we avoid the matana. So he says, this guy who tried to shield his assets, tell the Mayim Adirim, Behelav Yadocheres, doesn't work, the Matana goes through. So after the Rush goes on for a while about Umdanus, then he brings several other Gemaras in Shas that say that when people try to play games and to thwart a Takana of Chazal, thwart a din that would be fair, they try to do something unfairly, the Gemara uses Lashonus like, Hu asa shloka hogen, afanu nasa lo shloka hogen. He tried to do something improper, we'll make sure that he's not successful, we'll do to him shloka hogen. We'll make sure that what he tries to do doesn't work. Another Gemara, Kasher Asa, Keni Asalo, Gmula Yashav Barosho. Someone tries to do something improper, we're going to turn the tables on him. Mida Kenegan Mida, we're going to pay him back. And the Rosh's conclusion is, Mikol Halein Chazinan, from all these Gemaras, if someone is Mechavein Laharim, someone tries to do a trick, to do something that's unfair, Chachmei Gemara, Umdu Kenegdo Levatel Armaso, the sages of the Talmud stood against him to thwart his Arma. And he says, even though the Gemara only gave that rule in a couple of specific cases, so what? Nidon Dover Midover will be Madame Milsa La Milsa, Nilma Dover Midover. He says, what are the Chazal going to do? He says, Chachmei HaTalmud lo espiku lichtov kol asid. Chazal couldn't write every possible case that can ever arise. So they had to write a few cases, and we're supposed to infer and extrapolate and generalize to our sorts of case. Kol Shekein, he says, in our case, it's din gomer. It's not just because of a knas, it's din gomer, because ein lecha umdana demuchach yosim izeh. So the Rosh basically has these two reasons. First of all, he says the umdana is, he doesn't really want this matana to go through. Second of all, he says it's not fair, zelo fair. It's not right, it's arma, it's shloka hogan, so we have to thwart what he does. So therefore, we don't count the sale, we don't count this gift, we say that the nosin keeps it, and therefore the balchov can get the property. And again, he says, Reisi Tshuvas Mari, the Maram again, someone who tried to do this, and the Maram paskind, that it doesn't work, and that the creditor, the Ishar, whoever the creditor is, his or her rights remain in place, because you try to do an arma again to be mafkia takanat chachamim, lo toa lo armaso. The Rosh has several tshuvas later in Klal Ayin Ches. The Rosh has a much longer tshuva where he elaborates on all these points. He begins with a passionate introduction. Toras emes v'chukim tovim. God gave us a Torah of truth and good laws. Mishpatim yisharim. Nasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'am of Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu alav hashalom. Drochea darchei noam. The Torah has to be fair. The Torah has to be just. The Torah has to be right. Chol nasiv osei hashalom. Tadikim yelchubam. Poshim ha'misnaklim la'akesh ha'yishara. Sinners who are sneaky, who are devious, to try to twist straight things. L'hagdol shekel b'mozne mirma, chayovin chachmei Yisrael osakel atzasim. The Rosh is not simply making a dispassionate argument that the umdana says the matan is not good. The Rosh feels we have a powerful moral imperative to thwart those who try to do such devious and unfair things and try to shield their assets from creditors. L'sakel atzasim, l'vatel machshavosam, alzen nemar tzedek tzedek tirdof. You have to pursue justice, not just technical correctness. Amru Chachamim, Din Emes Lamito, Lafuke Meruma. Even if something is technically correct, if it involves Ramos, that's not Emes Lamito. And the Rosh says it's a big problem because Reisi Mixas Anashim who do this, who make these kind of fake transactions to shield their assets from creditors, they give it to Jews or non-Jews, and then they borrow money, and they tell the creditors, sorry, it's not our assets anymore. And everyone sees it's a joke. He says, I call Rowan, even though they made this formal transaction, the property is still theirs, it's only formally in someone else's name. Practically speaking, they keep the property. Nosin v'nosin behem. Me'om le'yotim erishuso. Never really left the rishus. In the Piskei Rosh, the Rosh uses language that they can be chozer whenever they want, and the Nesivos we'll discuss later. The Nesivos says that's the primary consideration here. If they can be chozer whenever they want, or as the Rosh in the Tshuva says, they never really left the rishus, they treat it as theirs from the get-go, they just put it in someone else's name. So the Rosh says, Avada, this does not work. And he brings all these Gemaras at length that say that we follow Umdana. He doesn't really mean such a Matana, so obviously it's not a Matana. Then later in the Tshuva, he also brings the Gemaras of Shaloka Hogan. Anytime somebody does something Shaloka Hogan, Chazal thwart him. Chazal makes sure that he doesn't get away with it. He brings Rabbeinu Shimshon and Rabbeinu Tam, as he does in the Psakim, and explains that they're wrong. It's not Pshat of the Gemara. It's against the Svar of Umdana. And again, his conclusion is that both because of the argument of Umdana, that he doesn't really mean it, as well as because of the consideration of who was the Shloka Hogan, we can't let his unfair deviousness carry the day. The Rosh's conclusion again is, Nischachmu chachmei agamar levatel armaso, to prevent his deviousness from succeeding, lo tasenu yadav tushia, alachas kam v'kama, in our case, we say these things, and so on. And therefore he says that Avada, we're mevatel this matana, we don't let it go through. And even though Chazal only said this principle again in certain limited cases, we have to be nidon davar midavar, nilmo davar midavar. Chachmei HaTalmud couldn't, lowest peak, they couldn't write every possible case, kol asidas, mitzchadshos, b'chol yom, haboi macharem, the people who interpret Chazal, yotim bekvaseim, we follow in the footsteps of Chazal, medown milsul milsul. Chazal clearly had no tolerance for this kind of nonsense, these shenanigans. He brings the psak of the Maram. And then he says, additionally, besides the consideration of Umdana, besides the consideration of Shloka Hogan, this is a serious problem, he says, so it's an issue of Migdar Milsa, we have to make Takanas, Tzarech Shah, prevent this from happening, Milsa Deshchichahu, and as Din Gomer, as we said. So he says in Toledo, he says, we passed a Takana, Tinasin Das, on any Sofer, any Edim, had better not engage in this kind of shenanigan of signing Ishtar Mavrachas, and if they do, they're going to get fired. They have to bring the matter to Gedolei Ha'er and Al-Pi'em Yasu, and if they violate this Takana, Yistalkum and Nusam, they're fired. This is the sheet of the Rosh, not like Rabbeinu Tam, that Ashtar Mavrachas is batel, A, because of Umdana, B, because it's Shaloka Hogan, and C, at least in his specific case, see, because there was an issue of Migdar Milsa and Tzarech Shah. The Shulchan Aruch in Chashen Mishpat Simen Tzadi Test, Paskins like the Rush, Shulchan Aruch in Simen Tzadi Test, Tivav, Hachayev Lechavero, Nosen Kosher Lo Laacher, Lafkia Chavo, Lo Tal Armasu. He doesn't bring all the passionate language of the Rush, he just says, the Torah brings the Tshuva to the Rush at length. Shulchan Aruch just says, it doesn't work, it's an Arma, it doesn't work, the Malchov collects anyway, additional complications, but that's basically the Psak of the Mechaber like the Rush. The Ramah goes on and says, Hagah, a very difficult Ramah, the wording is quite problematic, Mihu, im nira lebeistin shelo kibnu la'arma, if Beistin sees he didn't mean Arma, rakl matana gemura, he meant a genuine, legitimate matana, then kana hamakabel, afal gav shreis kenosu lavriach. Even though he meant to be mavriach, but if it's not Arma, it's a real matana, then it works. So all that for a mask, the Ktos, the Nesivas, the Tumim, Chavas Yar, the Pritua, all ask, what does that mean? It's not Arma, it's Matana Gemura, even though it's Lavriach. If it's Lavriach, then it's Arma. Then it's not a Matana Gemura. How can it be at the same time not Arma, but Lavriach and a Matana Gemura? Which one is it? Yes or no? So we find several different approaches in the Poskim. The Ktos and the Nesivas both learn that apparently the Ramah is agreeing to the Mechaber and the Rush that normally a Shtar Mavrachas does not work. But that's because, like the Rush says, it's an Umzuna that you don't really mean it. You don't really mean to make a real Matana. The Rush is Mayruch to bring Rayas from Shas, that when you have an Umzuna that you don't mean something, then it's not Chal. However, the Ksavis and the Sivas both explain, if you do mean it, if you want Matana to be a legitimate Matana, even if your motivation is purely Lahavriach, but if you honestly want Matana to be valid, even if your goal is not to give him a matana, you're not particularly friendly with him, you wouldn't normally give him a gift, and your entire motivation is lahavriach, that works. So when the Ramah says, if it's not arma, meaning you want it to be a genuine matana, not just a game, not just a sham, you want it to be a genuine matana, even though it's lahavriach, even though that's your motivation, then that works, and the Balchov cannot collect. The way the Ktos expresses it is, as long as you mean it, then it works. The Ktos says, Nirabira Davar. If it's only a harama and you're really keeping it, that's when it's not Yatamir Ashuso, then the Balchov collect. But when you mean Matana Gemura, even though it's not because he deserves Matana, Chazal say that Matana is often given because Artui Arti Kamea Makabel. Because he did something for you, you owe him something, that's a normal Matana. This Matana is not because of that, it's because of Havracha. But Lamaisi, you mean a real Matana, then that works and the Balchov cannot collect. Nesivas says what appears to be something very similar. Also asked the Lashon is Tamua, and he says, Nira Perusho, when is a Shtar Mavrachas? When you retain the right to be Chozer whenever you want. Like the Rosh in the Pesachim says, you can always be Chozer. The Rosh in the Tshuva says that you constantly treat it as yours, you're Nosi Venosi, and you use it, you're considered the Bialim, practically, you just put it in someone else's name. But if you make it clear that this is Matana Gemura, and you do not retain actual control, for example, the Nesiva says, if you write Matana Chaluta, Matana Olamis, this is a permanent irrevocable Matana, I have no further control, then it's Matana Gemura, and then it works. Even though your motivation is only Lahavriach, that's your entire motivation, you wouldn't do it otherwise. Nevertheless, since you made it clear that it's a valid Matana, then it works, and the Balchov cannot collect. The Urim Batumim has a somewhat different shot. He says that the Ramah is actually going like Rabbeinu Tam. The Ramah is going like Rabbeinu Tam, not like the Rush. That min hastam, when you have a shtar mavrachas, the matana is good, and the balchov cannot collect, just that even Rabbeinu Tam agrees, that if you know it's an arma, if you know he really doesn't mean it, then even Rabbeinu Tam agrees. But if you don't know, then by default, that's machlokas rosh Rabbeinu Tam. If you don't know one way or another, you know that the context is clearly havracha. You know it's clearly, you know it's to some extent, not arma, but you know it's havracha, you know he doesn't really want to do it. So the rush says by default, the umdana says he's not kona, and the balchov can take it. The Rabbeinu Tam says by default, it is a matana. But even Rabbeinu Tam agrees that if you know it's arma, then avada, the matana is not good, and the balchov can take it. So the Urim Batumim says the way you read the Ramah is that if it's not arma, meaning you don't know for sure that it's arma, then it's matana gemura. But it's matana gemura. Not that you know for sure it's matana gemura. Then it's pashut it's matana. Then it's not havracha. Then it's a real matana. But he means the case of Rabbeinu Tam where it looks like in the context of havracha, but you don't know for sure that it's Arma, then by default, Ramah is saying, we paskin like Rabbeinu Tam, that Matana goes through as long as we don't know for sure that he doesn't mean it. The problem with the Rambam Tumim's Pshat is that the Mechaber Paskin clearly like the Rush, and the Rush is clearly rejecting Rabbeinu Tam. The Ramah seems to be qualifying the Mechaber. He just says, Miyuim Nira, and that means Rabbeinu Tam, the Rambam Tumim says, so Charetz Machlokas. So I don't really understand how the Rambam Tumim can read this into the Ramah, but in any event, that's what we read in the Ramah, that the Ramah is Paskin like Rabbeinu Tam. There's a major Machlokas between the Chavos Yair and a contemporary Dayan of his, shall discussed by the Urim V'Tumim and the Pre-Tvua too. They discuss a specific Shaila, and also in the course of their discussion, they discussed how to read this Ramah. They were discussing a case of a person who made a matana, he made a chav, he was mechayev himself to someone else, a daughter, Shah Achas Kodim Misasi. He wanted to avoid the ksuva kicking in if he died. So he said that a second before I die, a Shah before I die, that I'm creating a chav, that all my assets are meshubah to my daughter, and that would avoid ksuva, because that chav would precede the ksuva, and then his wife wouldn't be able to get it. The case was Ploni Alman, Shanas Almana, and in order to avoid her gaining his assets in the event of his death, he made a shtar chav lebito, he'd mechayev a large sum of money, 500 rechtaler, and that's chal a shah achas kodem mosa. So the woman wanted to collect her ksuva after he died, and the Baas said, no, I have a shtar chov, and my shtar chov is first. So there would be some assets left over for the ksuva, but she would take away much of the assets, and the woman wouldn't get the bulk of her ksuva. So the Chavos Yair says, the Muflik Sheba Dayanim says that this shtar works, it's not a shtar mavrachas, and he says something very similar to the Ksos and the Sivas. He says, shtar mavrachas, get a shtar mavrachas, what is a shtar mavrachas? Well, you don't really want it to go through. The das of the notion is not that it should work, it's just a sham, it's only lefnim, it's just a fake star, like a star amana. Those are the cases in the Tshuva Sarash, he says, that the Mechaber passing like the Rush, if you don't really mean it, it's just a sham, then it doesn't work and the Baal Chov can take it. You're just putting it in someone else's name, as we say, but between you and him and everyone understands that it's really yours, that's a shtar mavrachas, that doesn't work, and that those assets are still subject to the claims of the creditors. Mashenkin, if you want it to work, you actually want it to work, even though your entire purpose is a havracha, that's fine. Nothing wrong with that. The whole point of the Rosh is umdur demuchas, that you don't mean it. But if you do mean it, even though your goal is to be sneaky and devious, that works. That's fine. He doesn't address the other tain of the Rosh, that it's not fair, it's shalaka hogan, all that he doesn't discuss. He focuses on the argument of umdur, that the Rosh says you don't really mean it. Mashenkin, if you do mean it, the muflik sheba dayanim said, as long as you mean it, then it doesn't have the din of shtar mavrachas, the matana works, and the claim of the creditor is thwarted. And that's what the Ramah means, he says, when the Ramah says that if there's no arma, but you mean a matana gemura, it works, even though it's only for avracha. Again, he explains pretty much, seems like the Ksos and the Sivas, that the Ramah means, even if your goal is avracha, but if you meant it as an honest matana, not as a sham, then it works, and then the creditor has no claim. The Chavos Yair himself apparently was involved in the same din Torah. He says, Yeshavti lo v'anisi al rav, even though this Muflik Sheba Dayanim apparently was the greatest, most eminent of the Dayanim, the Chavos Yair says he personally disagreed. He refuted his view, and he said, no, that's a shtar mavrachas, that is arma. That's something that doesn't work, and that's something that Chazal were oker. When is it not a shtar mavrachas? If it's a genuine matana in the sense that you actually lose something. If matana is going to be chal mechayim in 10 years, for example, then you're giving up property yourself too, because even before you die, for the rest of your life, you're not going to have your property. So that's matana gemura, that's what the Ramah means. There's no arma because it's a real matana, it takes effect even against you. It's not just targeted against the creditor, it has significant consequences for you yourself. But a matana which is not chal until shah haskodem moso, a matana that has zero effect on him, he can enjoy the property to the fullest his entire life. The only consequence of this matana is thwarting the creditor, it's targeted like a laser against the creditor's claims and has no other significance. Such a matana, he says, is entirely an arma, and the Chavos Yair's conclusion is, lo yagia nezik la'atzam b'shum ofen, he doesn't have a hefsid of even a pruta, he has no hefsid whatsoever, no nezek, kol yimei chayav, the chov is not due until a moment before he dies, so his entire life, there is no significance and no downside whatsoever. He says, this is vadei ashtar mavrachas, lo yachra chrumi atzido, this cannot stand, this kind of deviousness, again, seems to channel the other aspect of the Rosh, the fact that it's arma and it's not fair. The chayim yatza psak din al pi ra haro. The Chavos Yair apparently carried the day, and even if the muflug didn't agree with him, this is how he passed him, this is how he wrote this psak, halacha lemaisa, Such a shtar is called mavrachas, even if he really means it. Even if it's absolutely clear he means this matana should work in this tricky way of shachas kodem misaso, he absolutely means it. Nevertheless, this is called arma, this is called mavrachas, and this does not work. This doesn't work, and the creditor's claim remains intact. The Tumim disagrees. The Tumim says this is a chiddush, to which there is not sufficient makar. The Tumim and the Pritvua, they point out, there is a sheet of the Mardechai. The Mardechai points out that if someone gives away all his assets as a matna shchiv merah, the ksuva is not, then the ksuva still is collectible, even though, technically speaking, matna shchiv merah should preempt the ksuva. So the Mardechai says, that doesn't work. The Mordechai says, because if so, everyone will do that. There's no downside. A person makes a matna shchimra, again, just like in the case of the Chavos Yar, a person makes a matna shchimra, there's no downside. He accomplishes shafting his wife, preventing her from being gover the ksuva. There's no downside for him. So that can't be, he says. That's the rume kamarim, lafkiyat tekonat hachamim. Again, it's not fair, it's not right. We find sometimes, like by Karnamas, almora ban l'shibude, they made the shibud strong. If everyone could do it, he says, and there was no downside, shavi mufdir ban l'chuchavit lula. You're eviscerating Chazal. You're making a joke out of the Tekanas Ksuva. That cannot stand. So that sounds a little like the Chavos Yar, that even if you actually mean it, but if this gives you an easy and efficient option to totally destroy the Tekan of Chazal, that can't be. It says the Tumim has no shaychus. Because over there, in Achinami, there's no downside. Amat Neshkemira, you have complete control over the property your entire life. Your control, your ability to use it, to sell it, to dispose of it, to mortgage it, remains entirely intact. And then everyone will do it, and there's no downside. There, even the Tumim agrees, Avada, there has to be a Takana that you can't do that, because otherwise, everyone will do that. However, he says, in the case of the Chavos Yar, there certainly is a downside. He says, once you make this Chov, this is a Chov, not a Matash Chimera, once you make a Chov to your daughter, the property now has a lien to the daughter. Even if you trust her, you can't sell the property anymore, you can't mortgage it, people won't buy it. So he says, what do you mean there's no Hezek? There's no Hezek, even Prutachas. Hezek Merubah L'Ma'od. There's a terrible downside to doing what you did in the Chavos Yar's case. Shekol l'chasim m'shubadim. So he says, the Chavos Yar is tarachin, the Shoel is correct. Me'echet teisi lifshol shtar b'litam. Even though it sounds like he's being chalek in principle against the Chavos Yar, the machlokes is not really so great. He also agrees that if you structure it in such a way, he says, b'feirish, if you say that you can be chozer from it, you have the right to withdraw from it, then avada is a haram, and then avada the Chavos Yar is right, that the ksuva still remains intact, the claim of the ksuva of the creditors remain intact. The whole machlokas is, if you do it in a way where the Chavos Yar claims there's no downside, and he says, really, there is a downside. So the machlokas is, in such a case, the Tumim says there's a major downside, and therefore it's not just a harama, and therefore not everyone will do this, and therefore it works, and the creditor's claim is lost. Chavos Yar says, no, there's no downside, he claims. Not sure how he answers the kash of the Tumim. There's no downside, therefore everyone will do it, therefore it is a harama. But everyone agrees that if there's really no downside, then you have a Mordechai who says, if everyone will do it, we have to stop people from doing that. Pritvua also has a lengthy discussion, goes back and forth on this point, discusses what the Ramah means. But this is a machlokes achronim, whether if a person makes such a hischaivus that has no obvious consequence right away, he can still enjoy the property, then do we say that that's still an arma and it doesn't work, like the Chavos Yar? What do we say like the Tumim? Since it does have some effect, Mechaim, he can't sell the property, that's a real matana, and again, like the Ksos and the Siva say, even if the point is to block the creditors, we stick with the Shoel of the Chavos Yar, even if that's the point, since it's a real matana and it has real consequences now, even if your entire motivation is to thwart the creditor, that still works, and we're not worried about the Rosh's concern, apparently, of Shloka Hogan. As long as it's a real matana, we don't invoke the problem of Shloka Hogan or the other considerations of the Rosh. Just close by citing a tshuva of the Divrei Malkiel. Divrei Malkiel seems to be working with the sheet of the Rosh. He has a tshuva that was discussing, in general, a case of someone who put assets in another person's name. He had technical shailos about it. But he winds up the tshuva by saying, La'ucha l'sapik. We're talking about putting property in someone else's name. I just have to make a point here. He says, people think it's a heter to just do this, to put transfer property in someone else's name to avoid creditors, to thwart their claims. People think it's a mitzvah, he says. Some people think it's a mitzvah to help somebody retain his assets, he says. To avoid him having to sell off his house, he says. Actually, it's an avera. He says someone who does this is over an avera. The person who agrees to have the assets put in his name is meseyeh b'dei over avera. And if he stops the creditor from taking it, he's over gezel gomer. Some people think it's a mitzvah. It's actually ein lecha avera gedola mizu. Yom Kippur mein mechaper al zeh. very strong language. It's an avera that even Yom Kippur is not mechaper. I guess he means like anybody in lechaver. You're stealing someone's property, so Yom Kippur is not mechaper. He brings the rush and he says it's pashut. Rakevesi zek yelavara is gadol ha'oven b'zeh. Anyone who has yiras Hashem belibo should avoid this. Yirchak mizeh. Haladayin muta lahatzel asher miyad ashko. It's the dayin's job to stop people from being cheated like this. He has to avoid these kind of shenanigans, these kind of cheating, deserving creditors out of their assets. So again, I don't fully understand what he's saying. It's true this is what the Rush says, but it's not so simple. Rabbeinu Tam is chalik on the Rush, and the Ksos and the Sivas explain that even the Rush agrees that if you actually mean to put it in the person's name, like the Shaul and the Chavis Yar and the Tumim, if you actually mean to put it in his name, if you mean it as a real Kenyan, then even according to the Rush, it works. And maybe the Divrei Malkiel was talking about cases where it was clear you didn't really mean to put it, you didn't really mean a real matana, you just put it in his name as a sham, where everyone would agree. Some of the Acharim say even Rabbeinu Tam agrees that if it's clear that it's only a sham, then everyone agrees to the Rush that doesn't work. But whatever it is, the Divrei Malkiel warns you that playing games and putting property in other people's name, Chavis Yair says, people think it's a mitzvah, it's actually a terrible avera, even Yom Kippur is not mechaper, and a person who has Yiras Shamayim should not do this. And so Dayan's job to prevent such shenanigans from cheating the creditors out of their due.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.